You always play us in with the music, though.
It already played, Jeff.
That was like 45 minutes ago.
Be a professional for once in your life.
Welcome to another episode of Spacklegeist, everyone's favorite home improvement advice podcast. Do you add words to that every time?
No.
I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your host, Matt. Thanks for joining us on this trip to your hometown hardware store, but for your ears. Pull it together. We've got sponsors.
We do have sponsors.
Probably.
Well...
What's on the show this week, Jeff?
Well, Matt, this week we're going to take a quick trip, just a brief trip, to the correctional facility. We're going to answer some listener questions.
We're going to check in on what I'm working for?
What you're working on.
Boy, it's been a while since we recorded, huh?
It has been a little bit.
Feels like it's been just a long while.
A long time.
I should write that song.
You should.
Hang on. It's been a long while. Since we recorded together, some time has passed, and I'm aware of it. It's been some period of time that you could mark on a calendar. Chickadee China. That's a number, I think, you know.
And then we'll close out with Hardware You're Hard For.
Mr. Lowenstein? Hang on. Who's the guy that did the Beatles? Jeff.
I'm sorry.
The guy who like made the Beatles famous.
Ringo.
Yeah, there it is. Got it in one. Great job. Idiot.
So let's start off with a quick trip to the correctional facility, Matt. You know, we hate to do this, but sometimes we do make mistakes and we have to go back and set the record straight.
Maybe you make mistakes.
So correction this week, shingles are microwavable. And they will not open a gate into the Eldritch Plains. So you're good to microwave those shingles if you need to. And if you're looking to open a portal to the Eldritch Plains, go back to episode 16 for the classic recipe.
I remember that.
Yep.
I went to Boston recently. I flew on Eldritch Plains. They're nice.
No.
Not quite the DC-130s or the Bombardier jets, but, you know, they've got a charm.
There's a certain something unknowable about.
Jeff, what you been working on?
Matt, I've been working on making our brand appeal to kids.
I don't get it.
So we need...
Jeff, like, but in all seriousness, that seems like a fundamentally bad idea.
Okay, not kids, but more youthful than our current audience.
Tweens.
Even teens. If they still exist.
So, 14-year-olds.
Sure.
16-year-olds.
Yes.
18-year-olds. Only even teens.
Only even teens. And there are two things that I know kids like. That is...
Insects.
Okay. Well,
fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners is a
fidget
thing.
Bridget spinners.
Oh. I went to high school with her. There are two things that I know that teens, tweens, and kids like. And those two things are T-shirt cannons.
Yep.
And Marxist revolutionaries.
Okay.
So, Matt, this week, what I've been working on is something I'm calling a trebuchet.
Oh, eat shit. Just eat all the shit.
So it's like a T-shirt cannon.
Mm, yeah.
But it's a trebuchet that throws Che Guevara T-shirts.
So it's like a counterweighted hot topic. Counterweighted hot topic.
Yep.
I think Bridget Spinner still works on that in the mall. Can find her.
She's the last Hot Topic holdout.
The Alamo of Hot Topic. The Alamo of the Goth Alamo. Jeff, I've been waging an ongoing war in my crawl space, which is not a medical euphemism. There is a possum what has taken up residence. Like, I have some kind of fucking marsupial Airbnb.
Well, is this one that you advertised for, or is this a squatter?
Look, I've been taking a writing class, and one of the project prompts was put an ad in the local paper. I didn't realize that this had real-world implications. So, yeah, some of this is on me. I get that. But even if... So, in my ad, I did specify looking for a short-term mother-pocketed tenant for no more than 2 weeks.
Right.
What I would really love is for a critter of between 10 and 20 pounds with sharp, noisy claws to find its way into my crawl space, jump into my insulation, and around 1:30 every morning, just bump the fuck out of my floorboards to make my dog go bat, just unrelentingly batshit obsessed. Because that's great for me.
Yeah. No, that's... You need that.
Yeah.
And I can see why you're so specific in your ad.
Yeah.
That you wrote and...
Well, I got a B+ on it.
Well, good job. Yeah,
thank you.
That's...
But I hired a wildlife control company to come out.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been controlling shit. They did catch a wreck. So things they've caught that aren't my possum, in all seriousness. Two mice.
Oh.
A rat.
Okay.
A raccoon.
Hmm.
And a whole bunch of nothing.
They caught the nothing?
Yes. The Neverending Story movie is now unmade.
Okay.
They caught the nothing.
Good.
Unfortunately, one of the rat traps caught the luck dragon.
Oh, no.
And, boy, is that, I mean, he just wouldn't stop grumbling.
Yeah.
Had that weird bubble back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bringing back some weird things. Also, a horse died in my mud. But right now, this is the is there Critter Sun Tzu? Is there an Otto von Biz marsupial that I can try and pull on? Because I'm out of options and I'm this close. I asked, like, do you have like a Jack Russell Terrier on staff? They don't.
Have you? So since this is Airbnb related, and we now are getting into squatters' rights and questions of squatters' rights for how long this possum has stayed. Have you considered making this legal, like taking this to the legal system? Everybody knows that opossums are marsupials, so you might have to take this all the way to a kangaroo court, Matt. Have you thought about that, though?
How long have you been working for the railroad, Jeff? Because that was a lot of track delay.
It was not nearly as much as some years.
I have not thought about that. Thank you. I will say that this possum moved in with his own media cabinet.
Oh.
And he alternates. He seems to have one movie on DVD. And he seems to have one CD. And you know, kudos for throwing it back to the 90s. He has it's a Pearl Jam single. Boy, did I forget where I was going with this joke. But the other one is that it's that one Tom Cruise movie where he tries to break in things. It's Mission Impossible. Oh, I got it. The other one. I remember now.
It was Pearl Jam.
And because I, like, his lease has expired.
Right.
And so he's just hanging out there illegally.
Yep.
And every morning, like around 2:30, I just hear, "Don't call me squatter." So that's what I've been working on, mostly. Should we go to the questions?
I imagine that it is time to inflict ourselves upon the listeners.
Hopefully the well hasn't run dry there of listener... What do we call them? Questions?
Questions, yes. These are questioners that our listeners send in or, you know, mail in or stuff into our tool belts or shout into the void and we pick up.
I do get a lot of... I went to go repair... I should have mentioned this one I'm working on. I got called into a... I thought it was just like a bar, maybe a dance club or something. It's called the Glitter Box. And they were having, like, this had this, what I assumed was, like, this, like, load-bearing strut kind of thing. It was stainless steel.
Not like a 6x6 wood beam.
No, it was like a steel pole kind of thing.
New construction?
late 80s.
Okay.
It still had some sadness on it. But they had to take my socket set because they'd been apparently like rocking it back and forth a lot. I don't know if it was like they're trying to shake something out of the ceiling. Maybe a possum.
Oh, it could be.
Out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
And they kind of knocked that out. And while I was there, people just kept putting questions in my tool belt.
Right.
And going, ooh, sexy boy. Like, it's actually Matt, but...
Yeah. Matt, I have to ask, were you wearing your standard work uniform of cut-off jean shorts, your tool belt, and nothing else?
Well,
And your toe ring.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Okay.
My toe ring that... So it's like a toe ring... it's a steel toe ring flip-flop. It's... you just picture a flip-flop.
Right.
And instead of that thong kind of connector on top, it's just two toe rings.
Oh.
And they're steel-toed, because in case something drops on my foot, I want to be protected.
Sure.
So I have the sole, the protective sole on the floor, and then the two toe rings that anchor it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because what are toe rings but the anchor of the foot?
No, that that does...
No, that tracks, yeah.
That would explain why so many of these questions are so sweaty.
So I just I brought that tool belt home to you and just threw it at you and said, "Here's questions.
Yep,
put them in the screen."
What are we doing?
Questions.
Listener questions. Let's see. Where do you want to start, Matt?
At the very beginning, Jeff.
Okay.
It's a very good place to start.
I just had someone staple some decorative trim and molding that is pretty fragile. And the staples are not set deep enough.
You don't say.
Some are slightly above the surface. Is there anything that can be done about that without taking off the trim? And that's from listener Ketone. Or Ketone. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, probably Ketone. Well, Ketone Loke, the first things first. Why don't you... I mean, I use railroad spikes for all my crown molding and trim.
I use actually a combination of sinew and homemade glue to hold up a lot of the crown molding in my house.
Did you learn that from Bridge of Spinners at the Goth Alamo? That's pretty dark.
Really like just the rustic look that, you know, intestines bring to ceiling decoration.
Do you
want to
maybe redefine what rustic is there? I don't feel like that's so much rustic as field dressed.
I don't understand the difference.
Fair enough. Well?
I'm sorry, but I interrupted you. I just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah. So, you can try to... Let's see, they want to do this without doing what?
Removing the trim and starting over.
Sure. So, assuming that the staples are spaced out, say, 4 inches apiece, 4 inches apart. You can split the difference on that and in the middle of that 4 inches or 2 inches, take, you know, actual finish nails and drive them into the seam of the ceiling and the wall. And then once those are all in to keep the trim up, you pull the staples out. Secondly, you could just do exactly what I said and then take all the staples out and eat them for all the good you've done. In inflicting this horror of staple trim on the world. By the way, I did see a Fitzgerald staple trim. He's running for third ward city council. He got some interesting things.
And some interesting stances.
Yeah, mostly just about under 25-pound critter releases.
Oh,
yeah. So,
you've got a vested interest in this.
I do. And I just want to make sure that I'm not, that I don't end up in another situation where that same possum comes back. Because I don't want to catch and release. So, anyway, check him out. I think it's Fitzgerald stapletrim.internet. So, dot website. That's right.
Dot website. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, that's my answer.
I think those are good answers. Also, I think we did skip over a very important part of this question, which was, I just had someone else do this for me.
Yeah, there's your first, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a DIY podcast.
DIY.
Not D-Y, wait.
D-I-S-E.
Yeah.
Clay.
Well, it's a do-it-yourself, not do-it-you-other-person.
Right.
It's DIY, not
DIYOP.
Yup.
So, I think we've settled that one.
Yeah, next one.
All right. Next one, Matt. Listener DM, D-E-E is her first name, not just DM. Will I die from living near crumbling 9x9 asbestos tiles?
That's it?
That's the entire question. D wrote in.
Huh. Well, I'd have to see your actuarial tables. I mean, you probably have a lot of health risks. How old are you?
Sure.
Do you swallow staples?
Hmm.
Do you often go fighting critters? Do you go critter fighting?
Do you go critter fighting? Living in near is so subjective.
Right.
I really think, like, are you leasing a crawl space to asbestos tiles?
Right.
Or are you, like, sharing a bedroom with asbestos tiles?
Yeah, if you live in, like, Bed-Stuy, then near is, you know, paper-thin walls. If you live in
name another city in the country. Go.
Butte, Montana.
Okay.
Yeah, college boy. Then near is, you know, a couple dozen miles.
Right.
So, no, if that. Yes, if the other, but not for the reasons you're thinking.
Oh.
And I'm not going to elaborate. Good luck sleeping tonight, DM. You're going to die. We're all going to die, except for me and Jeff. We're all going to die.
Next question, Matt, comes from Jason B. Can I put concrete tubes in half the depth of holes for footers?
No.
Okay. Next question comes from listener Jim T. I have an old air conditioner window unit. Is there anything I can do to maximize energy efficiency?
Hmm. Okay. Well, I guess it depends a lot on where you live. For example, if you're in the Arctic Circle,
mm-hmm.
take it out and seal the window.
Right.
Energy efficiency achieved. If you're in Ecuador, your AC unit's going to sweat a lot.
Sure.
And there's really nothing you can do short of encasing your AC unit in, like, 3 inches of concrete and reinforced steel. Like mm-hmm. a vault. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just treat it like a vault.
Right.
Hey, can you turn the vault on? I'm a little sweaty. See?
Because Ecuador, gotcha.
Jeff, did I ever, something, NAFTA relationship, AAC. It's Canadian, and then the Spanish word for yes. I don't, whatever, I'm tired. You can get to it. I'm over it. I guess, you know, if it's a really old AC unit, like the 80s or so, I have, like, you need, because you have to seal off the excess and where it's leaving. What do they call it? Exothermic? Is that a thing?
That is a thing. Okay. I don't think it's the thing that you're talking
so
about.
So you need to seal off the exothermic holes here while not plugging up the endothermic ones.
Oh, yeah, no. Air definitely not what you're talking
air
about.
Air has to come in still,
mm-hmm.
but it you can't seal it off from out. Because if you've ever seen a window AC unit that doesn't have the proper two-way kind of ventilation there, like actual ice accumulates on the outside and on the inside.
Right. And you also have to be careful not to inflate your house like a balloon.
Sure. I mean, I think just standard, like, warning on every question we ask and answer, you have to be careful not to inflate your house like a balloon.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that's kind of that. I would say, boy, without knowing more information here, I'm just kind of stabbing in the dark.
Yeah. I think my advice is going to have to be, excuse me.
I will not.
I think the best way to make your really old air conditioner window unit really efficient is just throw it out.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need an air conditioner if you haven't bought one in that long.
Maybe
buy a fan. Maybe buy a fan and an ice cube, and that's the same thing.
That's really good advice, Jeff. Let me one up you here.
Mm.
Intentionally fuck up the rest of your AC unit so it covers over in ice shear.
Mm.
scrape that off
right
into a snow cone.
Yep.
And put that in front of your fan.
Exactly.
Or just throw the snow cone at the fan so it just explodes
yep.
cold
right.
everywhere. I think that's a blizzard. That's a DIY blizzard.
Yep.
Throw a little Oreos there, you got a DIY Dairy Queen. A DIY DQ blizzard.
That's right.
Boom.
So really, it took us a second to get there.
Yep.
But I think what you need to do is lean into the inefficiency of the old AC unit
yeah.
and turn it into an ice maker.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
everybody knows that ice is cold. Problem solved.
Done. I like that we didn't answer that like in one. We didn't get that right away.
Yep.
And we didn't answer that sooner, and it really felt like I was wearing a singlet at Bayside High, and I was going to go wrestle for Iowa. I like that we got to that AC questions later. So that was satisfying for me.
I am not satisfied right now.
Next question, Jeff. We're clipping right along.
We are clipping right along. Next question comes from listener Tose. Weird name.
My Tose, add another ring because the flip-flop is broken.
Finding cracks and chips starting in my grout, what does this imply?
Well, Tose, I'm glad you asked, I think. I think this implies more than anything that you're a real Taurus. Finding cracks and chips in your grout kind of gives me a sense that you've acquired a reputation for being considerate, cooperative, and extremely easy to get along with, but you might have to chuck that identity out the window, at least temporarily. It's not a dire situation by any means, but you're about to have a serious urge to join, or better yet, start a cause on someone's behalf. You may have found your new calling. You'll be pretty damn good at it without even trying. So, Tose, done. I mean, that's for my end. Jeff, anything?
I think that I just cannot answer this question without a little bit more information. Like,
sure.
The chips, are they tortilla? Are they potato? Are they veggie chips? God forbid they're veggie chips.
Eric Estrada. I mean, lots of...
Lots
of variables.
I refuse to put up with a question where they don't give us enough information like this.
Yeah, that's... I mean, what are you doing?
That's right.
Well, Jeff, shall we maybe pay a bill or two?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
Jeff, for new listeners of the podcast, first of all, welcome.
Second of all, we're sorry.
Half of us are. But it's the left half of both of us?
Yeah.
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 What is the invoice minute, Jeff?
Invoice minute, Matt, is where we're faced with the realization that Spacklegeist is not just a passion project for us, but this is a business, and we do have a day job before we record America's favorite home improvement advice podcast.
Jeff, I believe the tagline is everyone's favorite home improvement podcast. No need to get jingoistic with it.
That's fair. I do have a problem with nationalism. So
you would, Che.
So the invoice minute is where we call due some of our outstanding bills. And some of the work that we have done, because it is outstanding, is worth every penny.
Maybe just worth penny.
Well,
hey, I just met you.
This is crazy.
But here's my invoice.
Pay me, maybe.
This week's invoice minute, I'm just going to run them down here. Mrs. Terwilliger, still waiting for $290 for poured concrete deck footings. Dr. Wu Shen, $115 for running conduit in your new shop. By the way, congratulations, it's gorgeous. Mr. Steven. And Mr. Kaufman for services rendered. That was like an invoice 15 seconds, Jeff.
It was.
I think the other 45 is just us explaining it.
And this is true.
Jeff, do you think we should have a theme song that can drop little fiddle music under there?
For the invoice minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Hang on.
Some pay me music?
Yeah. Hey, I just met you.
This is crazy.
But here's my invoice.
Pay me, maybe. That's,
Boy, just, I'm going to isolate that, and that's going to be the intro for it.
That's good.
Yep.
That, I don't see us getting into any trouble by using that.
It's under 15 seconds. I think yeah. That's, you know. Name one other Carly Rae Jepsen song, go. Yeah, it's been...
Pachelbel's Canon.
Yep. Carly Rae Jepsen's Pachelbel's Canon.
Literally the only other song I can think of in that moment.
Good, great. Butte, Montana.
Do we have time for one more question?
Sure, Jeff.
Next question comes from old friend of the pod, David M.
Yeah, old David M.
Yep, David M. David M's got an elaborate backstory, really, and an elaborate story interwoven with us. David M. This week writes in, "Can we build a ladder to the moon?"
Which moon, David M? Keith Moon?
Oh.
It would be pretty short. I mean, I think he's dead.
He's
a 6-foot ladder.
Right.
It just goes down. Well.
And I think, again, this is another one where we need some context. When we last heard from David M, he'd recently started a cult.
And before that, a Canadian fiancé?
He hadn't started a Canadian fiancé. He had a Canadian fiancé.
I mean...
Who had a baby. And David M. had started a cult. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming he wants to build a ladder to the moon for his Canadian moon cult to escape what I have to assume is some tax problems he's been having.
Ironically, as a tax attorney.
Hmm.
That's...
Well, they're the ones you have to watch the closest.
Right, sure. Keep your friends close.
And your tax attorneys closer.
Nah. Keep mm-hmm. your friends close, your enemies closer.
Nope.
And your tax attorneys closest.
But what David M. is asking us is friends close, enemies closer, tax attorneys on the moon?
Well, I guess then if we're supposed to keep them closest, then we would have to then go to the moon ourselves.
But that's only if tax attorneys are your enemy.
I mean, Jeff, everything you know about me, everything I've said on this podcast as record.
That's a good point. Mm. So, Matt, can you build a ladder to the moon?
Jeff, absolutely. And here's why. Jeff, which is taller, the moon or heaven?
Heaven.
Great. Jeff, if Led Zeppelin can build a stairway to heaven.
Okay.
And I believe that's an instruction manual. It's like an audiobook.
Yeah.
I haven't listened all the way through. Mm.
It's really long.
Yeah, I mean, it's as long as the moon. If they can build... So, yes, David M., we can. But instead of that, just get on that stairway to heaven and stop when you get to the moon.
Well, right. There's a landing halfway up.
Yeah.
Where you turn and go back the other direction.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I have to fix that banister. That moon banister on the stairway
right.
to heaven.
Yeah, that's... A lot of lawsuits about that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of...
Space lawsuits.
There's a lot of space lawsuits. A lot of involuntary purgatory visitations, mm-hmm. I think, is... Matt, I'm going to have to disagree with you on your advice to David M.
That's fine, idiot. Go ahead.
We can... I partially agree with you, but for different reasons. We can build a ladder to the moon, but it's only because... As everyone knows, the moon is fake and on a billboard that is just driven across the horizon.
So, Jeff, just to be clear.
So, it's a ladder, but you really only need to get onto the back of a flatbed truck carrying the moon billboard.
What I'm understanding that you're saying...
Yeah, is that, no, I don't understand why there are questions.
Is that in 2017, your conception... of the moon is that Apollo got demoted and instead of a chariot and the sun, he's driving a flatbed truck and a fake billboard of the moon across the horizon.
Well, I mean, Apollo's one of the drivers, but it's a team driver situation.
Oh, sure, because it's union rules. Yeah.
Union, you can't drive for more than 8 hours at a time.
Unless they take that Greek god trucker speed and then they can just drive all night, baby. Well,
yeah,
hang on.
Yellow Jacket Ambrosia.
Mount Olympus.
Okay.
No, I'm just telling you to go Mount Olympus. Mount Olympus, that's where the gods lived?
Some of them.
Or did someone just have like a condo in Boca Raton?
There was a waiting list.
No, okay. Well, that makes sense. It's an exclusive club. Which is taller? Mount Olympus, the moon, or heaven?
Well, again, I think I have to go with heaven. Do you think Mount Olympus is taller than heaven?
Jeff, here's why I'm going to refute you, and I'm going to use, for once, evidence-based reasoning.
Man, this is uncharted territory for you. Are you all right?
Jeff, I want to issue a warrant for your arrest because heaven isn't too far away. The band Warrant, Jeff, has a song called Heaven Isn't Too Far Away. And they can't say that legally without being sued if they were wrong. So, pretty sure it goes Mount Olympus, heaven, the moon 2, the moon 3.
The secret moon.
Wait,
the forbidden moon.
Mm-hmm. Moon, Soli Moonfry.
The lizard moon.
Soli Moon Pies.
Cake moon.
Andy Mooney.
Moon Unit Zappa.
The Moonion, which is the Moon Union.
And then Mars.
Yeah. And that, and as we know, because of the Kuiper Belt, that's where it ends.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I think ask and answer.
Yeah, and I think that is all the time we have for questions.
Yeah, that's maybe all the time we have, period.
So, Matt, what's left in the show?
Jeff, we've got a... Boy, I got a rumbling. I got a rumbling of a... What's that? Huh? What's that secret toolbox?
Oh, no.
Of things that people don't know about, but they should?
Oh, no.
It's getting rigid. And I don't mean like the line of tools from Home Depot rigid. It's time for Let's Get Harder, I'm Hard For! Trying out a new...
Yeah.
Kind of a new intro there.
Yeah, that was different.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we can get Carly Rae Jepsen to record that.
But only the hardware you're hard for part,
yeah,
though,
just
right?
That part. Yeah, just that part. If we can get Carly Rae Jepsen to Bruce Buffer my intro, I think we're set. I don't even need to go to the secret moon. Heaven is a place on Earth. Jeff, do we have a spot? I want to get to the hardware I'm hard for. I always do.
I want to get through the hardware you're hard for as well.
No, Jeff, it's called two, not through.
No, well.
Well, do we have a sponsor, though? I want to make sure that they get their shout out so we can get our money.
Yes, we do have a sponsor this week, Matt. Matt, this week, Hardware You're Hard For is brought to you by Just Foreman. If you doubt that you've got the stamina to make sure that your job delivers, or you need some extra elbow grease, give us a call. One of our four men will show up and make sure that you achieve completion. So remember, that's Just Foreman. They've got four men.
I I'm getting it, Jeff. Thank you. What are their names? It's Pestilence, Death, Avarice, and Tony? Is that it?
Yeah, he goes by Antonio now, though. He's going for a little more mature.
Calm down, Italian college boy. I went to the university, and all I got was a stupid t-shirt. Jeff, the hardware I'm hard for this week. Jeff, you know how there's music?
I do know that there's music.
I mean, if there's not, I can lend you the single CD that my possum has.
Well, we've already established in this episode alone that there are at least four musics.
That's
there's,
right.
There's Pearl Jam.
Pestilence. And
Avarice.
Tony.
There's...
So... I was in my undershed, and I was trying to create room for emergency supplies, which is just more hammers, and I found an old cache of a box of these rectangles I didn't even recognize because it's been so long. So what would you do if you found a box of rectangles, Jeff?
Measure them.
Oh, shit! I didn't think.
Well, I mean that I need a sense of scale is ultimately what I'm getting at here. Like if I found a box of tiny rectangles, I might like, you know, play a game with an old man in front of a cafe.
What?
Dominoes.
I had
if it was a like a giant like 10-foot tall rectangle, I might become a space baby.
What?
Again. 2001.
Oh my god.
Anything? Jesus.
We need to put an obelisk on that, and then in the show notes go, Jeff equals idiot. These rectangles were smaller than my hand.
Okay.
And as I think is canon on this podcast, I have 7 fingers on each hand. So take your hand and then make it 7/5. I think that's how fractions work. But anyway, a big box of these tiny rectangles. And they turned out to be 1980s R&B cassettes.
Hmm.
And obviously, I don't have a way to play that anymore because I only play music on my head now.
Right.
Yeah. I'm streaming.
Yep.
My medulla oblongata gala. And, but I was like, you know, how do you even get, like, it's not safe to burn because they're basically asbestos.
Sure.
And, you know, you can't just throw them away because.
I mean, everything was made with toxic chemicals in the 80s. We all know that.
Chief among them, Reaganomics. So I didn't know how to get rid of them, and then I remembered, oh, Jeff, I bought, you know, like how sometimes you buy a specialty tool, like that one Dremel bit that is only used for one specific thing, but it costs like $30.
Yep.
So I've had this tool hanging in my undershed for a long time, and it hasn't been used since the early 80s, but it's designed specifically to completely pulverize and destroy early 1980s R&B cassette tapes. Jeff, the hardware I bought for this week is my sister sledgehammer. I don't know, like, I can't recommend to go out and get one, because I think I have the only surviving relic.
Right.
But if you want to borrow it to only destroy your 1980s early R&B cassettes, then, you know, try and find me. Good luck.
So, just to be clear, the sister sledgehammer
mm-hmm.
is one of your emergency hammers in your undershed?
No, I was...
I'm just trying to get the story straight in my head, so I know... the specific instance where this hardware that you're hard for will apply to me.
I was taking out a box of rectangles.
Okay.
To make room for emergency supplies, which are more hammers.
I see.
On a separate pegboard in the undershed.
Oh,
I had the sister sledgehammer.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Unrelated. We are family. Is that them? That's them. Jeff, we're family. That about does it, I think, for this episode of...
Sure does.
Whatever this show's called. Spacklegeist. I want to thank y'all for listening. This is episode 175, so we've been doing this for 175 episodes. We've been recording it since 161. We really appreciate you listening. Looking at those podcast statistics, there are
ones of you,
ones of you, and I really appreciate that.
And we love you.
And we love you, people we could name on Matt's 7-fingered hand. If you'd like to, but no one seems to want to, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes so we can read it. That's it. I don't have anything else. If you want to tweet about the show, please do so using the hashtag Spacklegeist.
And you can even mention us with @Spacklegeist.
That's right. We've got a Twitter.
We do have a Twitter.
That mostly takes care of it. Make sure you continue to subscribe. It's not like... If you're listening for the first time, go ahead and hit that subscribe button.
On your
phone. Early 1980s rectangle cassette tape.
They all have subscribe buttons. They are secret subscribe buttons, you know, included by the CIA.
You know what's a real bitch?
What's that?
No, I don't like saying that. Let me recant. Sure. You know what's a real pain in my ass?
What's that?
That possum. I hear him listening to Spacklegeist. I think he's trying to one-up me. Like, he's trying to stay ahead of me.
Yeah.
He's sort of scouting me out.
You think he's artificially inflating our listener numbers?
No, here's the thing, Jeff. He doesn't even subscribe.
Oh, come on.
He just listens to it while I edit it.
Oh, he's what? It's
like stealing my Wi-Fi. Real, just little...
Did you give the possum your Wi-Fi password?
Well, it's part of the ad, sure.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the Wi-Fi password is... it's N, like the letter N, and then the letter E, and then 1. Mm-hmm. And then it's N-E-1... Who is a possum, what rents from me, will be destroyed in a beautiful pillar of fire, @ symbol, after your 2-week lease term is up if you do not vacay and then number eight.
Number eight, right.
I thought that would be enough, but apparently he's calling the bluff.
Yeah.
So
doesn't seem to be catching the subtext of that
right.
password.
I'm going to burn this house down and move into my undershed. But Jeff, if people want to email us questions, how would they do that?
Matt, we've had very few emails, so we have to assume that it's because people just can't spell the name of the show. So we've
Idiots.
Got it just we love our listeners. They might be dumb, but we love them. I think we've tried everything. We've tried mnemonic devices. We've tried airport codes.
Bubonic devices.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hang on.
This week, Matt, I think it's just to tie us to a household name. So we're going to go with just think of everyone's favorite utensil inventor, the Frenchman Spork Laguse. And you're just, I mean, you're going to have to change a couple of the letters around. And then after Spork Laguse, it's at gmail.com. That's Gmail, GMAIL.com.
Boy, that reminds me. Spork Laguse is my favorite kind of LaCroix. I just need to go get one of them bubble sodas. Well, I think I already thanked y'all, so there's nothing left to do but throw it to Jeff. Jeff, what is it we always say?
An apple a day will keep the lights on for you.
That's right. He's been Jeff, I've been Matt, you've been great, and this has been Spackelgeist, episode 175.